Listening Dog Media.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Outside Centre, or should I say, hello, aka the Norwegian for hello. Because last week it was Denmark that this was the most listened to podcast on a certain streaming platform. And this week we are the most listened to rugby podcast on a certain streaming platform in Norway.
I was really wondering where you were going with that. I was like, is he okay?
I'm good. I couldn't be better. We're number one in Norway, guys. We've gone global.
Woo!
Also, another really well-known nation for their rugby.
Well, this is it. This is what I'm confused. Hello, by the way. This is Robbie James. That is Vicky Fleetwood. That is Ellie Boatman. What, did you both know that you were quite so loved in Scandinavian land?
Scandinavian.
It's the blonde hair.
It could be. You both actually do have very Scandi vibes. Are either of you?
Not one bit. Very English, actually.
Neither. Mine's dyed as well, so.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure and a privilege to be number one in Norway. Do you have any, is there any sort of weird countries that you both didn't realise that you were fans in? Like, have you had any fans come up to you from very random countries and say, oh, that was unreal, or had any messages or something?
I had a news article written about me after the Commonwealth Games in India. That was a bit random. And it was like speculating whether I had a partner or not and stuff about my parents. It was a bit scary, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do they know that stuff?
No, I'm guessing they just take bits from social media. Like, it's probably actually quite scary what you post out there and what people pick up. So, yeah, that was random. Fleeto, any from you?
Nothing like that, I don't think.
I don't know. I've seen your many rugby articles about hookers with abs. Look at Vicky Fleetwood and her abs, and she's a forward.
Really?
Yes.
Are you on a load of top 10 somewhere?
A few.
Yes. Many.
Oh, God.
She's idolized.
Oh. Okay, so Ellie Boatman, huge in India. Vicky Fleetwood, huge in top 10s of abs that are forwards. And this podcast, number one in Norway.
Woohoo!
What a place to start. Welcome along to Outside Centre. This is the rugby podcast where it doesn't matter what your rugby knowledge base is. As I say, we've got Robbie James, which is, hello, me. We've got World Cup winner Vicky Fleetwood. We have Great Britain seven-star Ellie Boatman and occasional red carder. I did feel a little bad about last week. We mentioned, for anyone who hasn't listened, it was revealed to us, of course, that you'd been in Hong Kong and you got your first ever red card. And I do feel like we went slightly in, and a couple of clips went on social and we had a lot of people in the comments being like, oh, I feel like, Ellie, we love you. We feel really sorry for you. And I kind of looked at them and I was like, oh, no, we love her too. We were just having fun. So I hope it didn't come across like that.
It's okay. You were just making sure I got the slap on the wrist that I deserved. It's okay. We're over it now. Nearly served the ban and it's fine. And I'll be back on the pitch in no time. And we won't be talking about it anymore.
England also got their second red card of the tournament as well. So red cards are flying about at the moment.
They are. And that's a good place to start, because coming up, we are going to review what happened in round three of the Women's Six Nations, the round where every single game was played on artificial grass.
Oh, good start. Oh, I didn't know that.
I like that.
Do you like that? Is that good?
Yeah, I bet you like it as well, don't you, Ellie? Because you're quick.
I'm mixed views on 4G, you know. I do feel fast on it, and that's fun, but the burns sometimes, I am not about the burns life. I will be covering my knees or wearing... I am that girl that will wear leggings or something to stop burns. Sorry.
Would you still go sticky spray if you were playing on artificial? Or does that not make a difference?
If I'm playing sevens... yes, and then basically we would just put what's it called, the white, why can't I think, Fleeto, the white stuff that you put over your knees from the physios,
just like the stretchy tape.
Yes, you quite often put stuff like that over your knees to stop you from getting burns, and that's really effective, but our physio gets annoyed because we absolutely rinse it on 4G and it's quite expensive.
Is that the tape that supposedly helps sports people with their muscles but looks like it's doing absolutely nothing?
Different tape.
Oh, sorry, it wasn't up on my tapes. It's what K-tape is, the tape that what?
You're thinking of like K-tape and stuff that helps people when they have a bit of a niggle in their muscles, and they'll put it on to help relief, basically. Whereas this tape is just specifically for like covering burns and like, yeah, stopping you from getting burnt on the 4G. So some people will use that. I personally use that and it's great. Some people will use Vaseline.
Oh.
Old fashioned.
Good. Well, England didn't need any Vaseline, sticky tape, sticky spray, or anything of the like to run out 8 tries against Scotland at the weekend in the Six Nations. They won 46-0 at the Hive in Edinburgh. The win means they are now 3 from 3. Scotland have lost 2 on the bounce. And I think we should start at the start of the game. And what for me was, to be honest, as a Scotland fan, was the most entertaining part of the entire game was the anthems in the horizontal rain. Hilarious.
Yeah, it went through about 4 seasons in about 15 minutes, didn't it? Looked horrific.
I mean, it was so, like you said, it was kind of nice in the warm-up and everything. And you thought, oh, a bit of running rugby, artificial pitch. And then the players came out and it was lashing it down. And I've never seen players in the anthems actually just, they were all just pissing themselves. They just found it so funny because they were trying to sing whilst this rain was like hitting them in the eyes.
It probably hurt as well. It looked like, as it was coming at them, you know, where you want to close your eyes, but then you're thinking about singing the anthem. You're thinking the fact that the camera's close to your face. You don't want to be like pulling a weird face. I don't know. That's probably why they were laughing, just thinking this is awkward.
Proper chaos. Do you think about that when the camera comes across? Like, do you have to sort of consciously look away from the camera or make sure that you, if you are smiling, you suddenly go serious?
I always thought it was fine if it was like moving down. It was when they stopped on you and then you're like,
oh yeah,
this is awkward now. and then I wouldn't normally sing that loud. I don't have the great like singing voice as some of the other girls, so I'd be kind of like miming the words.
You mime?
And just hoping, I mean, you'd try and sing, but I'd be so out of like tune, it wouldn't be good for anyone.
Ellie Bowman, do not tell me that you also mime the national anthem.
I don't get to sing it that often because you only sing it in finals for sevens. So it's quite rare, but I think it's cool to see how different people like sing or act in the anthem, because like you get some people who are just like complete joy, so happy. Some people like crying their eyes out because it's the proudest thing ever. And then you get the kind of military things as well. Like Amy Kilcane obviously stands on her own and does like her whole RAF thing. And I think it's cool to see how different people do sing the anthem. Some people choose not to sing at all, and that's fair enough. But I'm usually smiling and singing.
Ever forgotten the words?
Said Queen still instead of King. Ooh. At when that first changed. I was actually playing the weekend she passed away at the Sevens World Cup, and we had to wear like black armbands, and that was weird. And then forgetting to sing the wrong word.
That's good. I'll cut that out before we get banned by Buckingham Palace.
Why would you get banned?
I don't think we actually would. It's just made me laugh.
This podcast is blacklisted for no reason.
Good. Shall we move on to the rugby? Because they did eventually, the players did eventually get through the anthems in the rain, and kind of all hell broke loose on the pitch. It was I felt really weird watching that game, because in parts I was there thinking, yeah, sellout crowd, this is great. This is exactly like the direction that women's rugby should be going in and the Six Nations should be going in. And then at the same time, I was a bit like, oh, hang on, but England are just so good and so dominant, and it didn't feel competitive for a lot of the game. What did you both, Vicky, what did you make of it from maybe from an England perspective to start? Because 8 tries, job done, right?
I feel like the Scottish attack never stressed the English defence. So as those English players, they were just kind of constantly going forward, making like their defence was very offensive. They were every kind of tackle, they were taking yards and then turning the ball over, getting the ball back. And then as soon as they had the ball, a couple of phases, build the phases and then play the territory. We ended up then putting together some really nice stuff and going and scoring. So, I mean, going down to 14, not long into the second half, especially when Amy went off as well, in the first half, they didn't actually put another player on. So playing a lot of that game with just 14 on the pitch and still going and winning by 46, but also not having a score against you, I think England will take a lot from that. Especially how strong Scotland looked the week before. They just didn't look the same outfit this week.
I mean, looking back at previous results, Ellie, 80-0 England winners in 2019. 2020, they won 53-0. 2021, they won 52-10. 2022, 57-5. Then 2023, 58-7. And then 46-0 on the weekend. Does that tell you that Scotland have taken maybe less of a step forward than we thought, or do you think that England have actually just extended the gap again?
I just didn't think it would be by that amount. Like, I honestly thought they were gonna give them a closer game than that, but like, even I think 15 minutes into the first half, I remember watching it with my parents at home, and we were looking, you know, all the stats come up and it was like 44 carries from England to 4 carries from Scotland. And I was like, that is mad. Like, when you have stats that different, like, you're never ever going to be able to score or like win a game when you have that little possession. They just did not have any possession at all, and when they did, there was some sort of error. I remember as well thinking, like, is Rona Lloyd or anyone like that actually on the pitch, because I didn't see her touch the ball for so long. And like, the wingers just didn't touch the ball for such a long time because they didn't have any attack. So yeah, tough for them. On the flip side, I was impressed with England, how they dealt with the conditions and they were still scoring some incredible tries through their backs. Not just, you get worried as a back in that weather that like, you're not going to see the ball. It's going to be very much like crashing it up through the forwards. But actually, they still managed to score some incredible tries in those conditions. And then in the second half when it dried up as well, like, they just looked so confident and like they were enjoying it so much. And it was just so different between the two teams.
On that, can we talk about that Meg Jones kick for Ellie's try?
Messy.
So good. Such a footballer. Like, she just...
Can you describe it to anyone that hasn't seen it? Can you describe it?
So I think, did it come from Holly's kick initially?
Holly Epson, yeah.
Yeah.
Meg chased super hard. She worked really hard for that. Chased, realizes that she's probably not going to be able to pick it up because there are some Scottish defenders around her. So right footed kick towards the posts, just like a footballing kick. And then Ellie's able to gather, rolls, and then scores. It was wonderful.
Did you see the reel that they made with BBC Sport of like all the football pundits?
Yes, so good.
It was funny.
One of those tries, isn't it, where if you're Scotland, you just think, oh, you, yeah. fair enough.
Well done.
Happens.
Yeah.
The one blotch for England.
You're barring like a sheep. You've been around too many sheep this week.
It's lambing season. Do I sound like a sheep? Bah, bah, bah. Bah. Well, I was trying to think of what's the expression. It's not blotch, is it? What you meant to say? If it, like a little blot, a blank, a, what's it called? The black, a black mark. That's it, black mark.
I don't know where you were going with it, so I couldn't help you.
I was thinking.
I thought Robbie was morphing into a sheep, but.
I was, well, my brain went to negative, and then I was like, what can I say instead of negative? And then I thought, like, oh, it's ink, isn't it? It's like black mark. And so I was thinking blotch, because you blotch something with a pen and black mark. Anyway, the one black mark, aka red mark, for England was a second red card in three matches. Sarah Beckett sent off in their first game against Italy. Then Amy Kirkane sent off for two. Don't really often get this in rugby, but it's the same as in like football or whatever. If you get two yellow cards, that also obviously amounts to a red card and you're off the entire game. So England down to 14 again. And this is the, like, if we're going to nitpick with England, this is the one maybe area that they need to try and sort things out. Going down to 14 players is not ideal, Vicky. What have you made of it?
I felt that Amy was actually quite unlucky on that second yellow. So the ball carrier kind of ducked as they were carrying. Amy's not kind of changed her body height. And she actually managed to rip the ball and then almost go the rest of the like length of the field. I think she ran about 50 meters or something. It's just that split second in the moment where you're slightly too high. Obviously, it's what we spoke about with Ellie last week as well.
You brought it up, not me.
You know, World Rugby are trying to make the game safer, and it's just one of those things that now those high tackles are meaning that people are being sent off. So, unfortunate for Amy. It's not like, oh, England are coaching in a certain way that are meaning that the players are kind of on the edge of, are they doing something illegal or not? Like, it's not the case. Like, it's just unfortunate.
Mentally, Ellie, it must be that kind of whole narrative of you don't have to do something with intent, or you don't have to do something malicious, or make it, you don't have to make even make a massive mistake to get sent off, and, you know, everyone's looking at you and stuff. From a mental perspective, that must be quite hard to deal with, because it's such fine margins and there's no intention, but you still have to, you know, deal with the consequences.
Sometimes it's difficult with rugby as well, because refs will have different interpretations of laws, and they may see things differently. And, like, I guess my only frustration with it is I was watching a game of Super Rugby, so a game over in Australia. Very similar incident with a clear out that was similar to Amy's, except from he did actually land the player on his head, whereas Amy actually let go and put her down safely. And that was given a yellow. And it's like two different situations, two different outcomes, but the same card. And like, that's where rugby is a bit tough sometimes, is that like one ref might see it differently to others, and you've just got to kind of accept it and just accept that and get on with it. But yeah, I did feel for her. It is definitely a spoken thing as well with England. Like, I saw an article at the weekend as well saying England's biggest threat right now is being able to keep 14 players on the pitch. And like, you're gonna get that, because how did they lose the World Cup final? Well, ultimately, it came down to a red card. So, like, you are going to get criticised for that as a team, because you're the best in the world, and things like this do keep happening. So I wonder whether it will be spoken about in camp in terms of, like, discipline and, keeping 15 players on the pitch. But, I mean, incredible that they're still doing so well with 13, 14 players on the pitch.
France, Italy then, in Paris on Sunday. France put six tries past Italy to also go 3-3 in the tournament. They won 38-15 against Italy. It means they're just 1 point now behind England with two games to play. And again, a kind of an interesting game, but it felt like Italy did come alive a bit more in the second half, but ultimately kind of left it a bit too little too late. 12 points in the second half for Italy. What do we make of them? Because they sort of seem to show glimpses without actually really testing France at all. In a raucous Paris, by the way.
Italy have improved so much over the last few years. It comes down to kind of that composure. There were quite a few times that they were kind of 5 metres from the try line and they were getting turned over. They just lost their heads. Whether that was a forward pass, a knock-on, they ended up getting turned over because there wasn't someone over at the breakdown quick enough. France have got the ball back and they've ended up kicking it, you know, back down the field, and Italy are there going, oh, we've worked so hard for that. We've built the phases and we've got nothing from it. And I felt that kind of told the story for most of the game. Like you say, they came into it in the last kind of 15 minutes. Is it Dinka, the winger? Like, I'm really impressed with her. She's awesome. There's some outstanding players in that Italian side. They're just not able to kind of put it together consistently, I think.
Because they're not necessarily used to attacking and winning all the time, it's like those last moments where you've done all the work, you've made the line break, you've done so well, and then it's like executing that last little bit that they seem to just miss sometimes. And I can 100% relate to that and have been there. And like you see it with the Italy men as well. They do incredible things, and they'll just make a last error like before they're going to score. And it's just so frustrating, but it'll come with doing better, winning. Like you sometimes, it sounds ridiculous, but you have to learn to win. Like you have to learn that feeling of executing, like when you make those line breaks and finishing, and that becomes, for England, obviously they do that all the time, so it's kind of second nature to them. But for a team like Italy, it's not something they're always used to. So sometimes they do just get a bit overexcited and then make a bit of a silly error at their end. So their scorelines don't always reflect their effort, but it is definitely what I thought would happen. And I did think France would be too strong, too much depth, more composure than Italy, but there definitely was some flair in there, yes.
France look like they've found their metaphorical mojo again. Would you agree with that? They looked on it. And I mean, it does help when you're playing in a packed Parisian arena and it looks like it's like 30 degrees and everything is feeling good. But they were on it on Sunday, weren't they?
I love how they offload. How so many of them go to hand. Like, I don't understand, because they are... I'd like to know a stat of how many offloads they make in a game, because it's got to be double what any other team make. But I really like it. And they kind of just really varied what they did in attack, and that's going to keep the defence guessing. And I'm actually really excited for the France-England game, like already, just from watching both teams. I think they'll really go at it.
And Assia Kalafui with the Player of the Match award for France as well. And I'm sure you saw the moment it was announced on the telly, and she sort of did like a bit of a cheesy thumbs up to the camera before her teammates absolutely soaked her. I feel like is an opening for something more to be made of Player of the Match being awarded on the big screen. Like, I feel we're missing a trick. I'm thinking kind of spotlight, proper spotlight, or like something where you have a couple of flamethrowers go up sort of right behind them or something like that. Some kind of pyrotechnics in today's world.
You do see sometimes similar things, but like with coaches. So like when teams win big titles or like they do really well, you do see them go over with like an ice box and do it to the coach. I would love to do that. Like after something's finished, knowing it's not going to affect your selection, obviously. I wouldn't do it now. But
Olympics.
That would be great.
Well, did you ever, I imagine that again is a bit of an awkward sort of anthem situation, is it, Vicky, if you get Player of the Match and suddenly you come up on screen and you don't quite know?
Do you know what, the times when I got it, I was still on the pitch, so you don't realize that, like, sometimes you don't even hear what, like, they say it like over the speakers and stuff, like you don't hear it or anything like that. So I never had that like awkward moment.
I never thought of that. They need to think about that when they announce Player of the Match. Don't do it when everyone's like packing down for a scrum, or if you're like at the bottom of a ruck or something and you come up and you're like, what? Everyone's congratulating you. They need to, maybe we have a stopping of the game, because the game needs more slowing down. Stopping of the game and then some kind of ceremonial announcement, drum roll. I don't know. I feel like there's a mistrick somewhere. World rugby?
I think I'd lose focus though, and then you might end up doing something silly at the end of the game.
Don't matter about focus or performance, Ellie. It's all about the theatre.
Not at that point, you've already got it.
Yeah. Got a bonus in the bag.
You get it, then miss a tackle and they score.
Do you get a bonus if you win Player of the Match? Is that a thing?
No.
No?
You may, I mean, you might do now. You definitely didn't when I was playing.
Back in your day.
Not me. And if you are, please let us know.
Looking at the next games then, Wales taking on France and Italy taking on Scotland. Of course, England-Ireland as well, which we'll come on to later in the week. Just looking ahead to that Italy-Scotland game and the Wales-France game, they're going to be mammoth games for both sides, really, aren't they, Vicky?
Wales, for me, this tournament just haven't been where we expected them to be. We've spoken about how strong and how well a lot of the players are playing week in, week out for their clubs, but for some reason it's just not coming together in a Welsh shirt. yeah, we've spoken about how strong France are, and they'll be going out there to just try things and kind of probably have one eye on the England game. Italy, Scotland, that one will be a lot closer, and I also think both teams will think that they can win it. So I think both of them will go out there thinking this is a real opportunity for us to get a win.
And there are two reasons, Ellie, why this is going to be massive, this game in Parma, because A, the person that comes third in the tournament will automatically qualify for the World Cup in 2025. So they will know that they're going to be playing in the World Cup in 2025. So Italy and Scotland, you would feel, maybe the two teams to nick that third spot. Also, there's a little bit of history between Italy and Scotland, because the WXV tournament, which was like a new tournament set up last autumn, Scotland just pipped Italy to the title by points difference. So they were level on points and it came down to points difference. So Italy are looking to try and get one over on Scotland, and Scotland are trying to make sure that they've sorted their qualification for next year's World Cup. So this is going to be a Parma ham sandwich of beauty, isn't it, on Sunday?
Always thinking about food, Robbie. I agree with you. It's a huge game. It will definitely be spoken about in the changing room, like the fact, like you said, in terms of World Cup qualification, they'll treat it almost like their World Cup final, in terms of it's a big game for both of them. There's a lot on the line with qualifications, WXV, both very, very passionate teams who love their rugby. And I think you're going to see a lot of emotion. I think games like that, the only issue is, and a lot of people say this about finals and things, is sometimes it's not always the best game of rugby because people are feeling the pressure and there's a lot on the line. So sometimes you will see a lot of errors in games like that. Just a lot of emotion and pressure on both sides. But I hope it will be a cracker. And yeah, I can't call it, to be honest. I could go either way. For whatever team turns up on the day, to be honest, is the team that's going to win it.
Going to be an exciting weekend of fixtures. So just to mark your card, on Saturday, 2:15 for England against Ireland at Twickenham. We'll preview that later on in the week. 4:45, Italy versus Scotland. Oh, it's on Saturday, not Sunday. I got that wrong. So 4:45 on Saturday, Italy versus Scotland at the Stadio Sergio Lanfranchi, otherwise known as Parma. And at 3:15 on Sunday, Wales versus France at Cardiff Arms Park. Couple of bits of other business before we go. Did you see it was a hot weekend, not in the UK, but it was a hot weekend in France. Can we talk about Bordeaux? I don't know if you saw this. There was men's European rugby at the weekend and they had like drinks break in the Bordeaux game. And there's, I've never seen this before, but they brought on about 10 umbrellas for the little drinks break to hold above the players. And then we also had in the France-Italy game, Sara Tuonesi, she got a yellow card, and when she was off the pitch she had like a bib as a hat on her head.
We've had ice towels before. What? They would bring them out. So when we've played in hot countries 80 minute games, they've had, rather than just having your half time, you've had like a 20 minute like water break.
20 minutes?
Yeah, so like you've kind of played in quarters. It wasn't very long, it was maybe like a minute or something like that.
Oh, I thought you meant the break was 20 minutes.
No. Like they'd have a break at 20 minutes and then again at 60 minutes. And then they'd bring out ice towels and you'd chuck them like around your neck just to try and bring your core temperature down.
Something fun that Perth tournament organisers did, was they put these massive fans on the subs bench at halftime. And a video of one of my teammates called Isla went viral in France because she comes off the pitch, she's absolutely blowing, she's dying, and she just stands in front of this giant fan and is just like trying to get her breath back for ages, and someone like filmed it. So yeah, that was the tournament organizers. But usually ice towels and the umbrellas and stuff, that would have been like the team manager or your like ops person in your team would probably sort that. Like even sometimes just swilling water in your mouth, putting like a little bit on your wrist, like that can just make a bit of a difference. So it's personal preference.
The water in the mouth thing, never got that. No one other than professional sports people puts water in their mouth, switches it around and spits it out. That is not a thing. Like, I don't know who the first person was to do that, but no one else is doing that, no matter how hot you are.
Yeah, but that could just be because you've got a bit of a dry mouth. So you swill it round. You're like, I don't really feel like I need a drink, but you swill it round because your mouth's just feeling a bit dry.
There's nothing worse than when you're like running around on the pitch, especially when I have a short half time and you're full of water and you can hear it being like glug, 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 glug. And you're like, oh no, that is not sitting well in my stomach. So sometimes just a little swirl can just help, yeah, making you feel rehydrated again.
It is gross. I think when they give you the water bottle, they should also give you a little cup that you spit it into.
Spit it out in, like when you're at the dentist, yeah. And they're like spitting the thing.
Better than spitting it out on the pitch, which you're just about to lie on.
I don't think any rugby players ever thought about that, Robbie.
And again, another reason why I maybe haven't become a professional rugby player. Let's quickly touch on rugby players as food. This is, we got a few in this week. I'll level with you, not too many, but we'll go through them quickly. So thank you to everyone who sent the following in. We have Rosie Gallagammon, Bryony King Prawns, Neve's Terry Chocolate Orange, Lana Skeldona Kebab, Lana Skeldona Kebab, Cecilia Tiapolotuna, Chloe Jam Roly Poly, Ice Lolly Aitchison, and Lizzie Wafer Thin Hamlon. Lizzie Hanlon. So Lizzie Wafer Thin Hamlon. The look that like Ellie Boatman and Vicky Fleet would have given me.
I like the Chloe Roly Poly. Chloe Jam Roly Poly.
There's just so many ham themes. Now all I have is like ham in my head. Like Palm ham, you said earlier. You could have Twick and ham sandwich. Like there's just a lot of ham going on.
If you want to submit any more food as rugby players, feel free to, but equally do not feel like you need to. That is a good place to leave this episode of Outside Centre. We'll be back later on this week. Keep an eye out in your podcast feed for another episode, an Ireland special, looking ahead to that huge game at Twickenham, England versus Ireland, and looking back on that mammoth day for Ireland as well against Wales at the weekend. You can subscribe, leave a review, tell your friends and family, and you will get the podcast in your feed as soon as they come out. Vicky Fleetwood, I thank you, and Ellie Bowman, I thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tear it up.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.